Hey guys, Trevor here with the E-Commerce Paradise Podcast. Welcome to today's episode. I'm going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of dropshipping. All right, if you're first time listening and you want to get a list of high-ticket niches, niche ideas, go to ecommerceparadise.com/99niches and download my list. It's free, and it'll give you some really good ideas on what you can sell online that's high-ticket and expensive. All right, so high-ticket dropshipping and dropshipping in general is a really cool business model because you can get started with very little money up front, and you get to take advantage of all these brands out there that already have done all their product development and packaging and marketing. You just have to go as a retailer and market their products online using the web. Oftentimes, these suppliers, they don't have an internal team doing, you know, direct sales to the public, or they just don't want to, or their products are complicated so that they rely on a dealer network for service and sales support. And the dealer network is often pretty broad. Sometimes a supplier will have a dealer network based on the region that they sell in. Sometimes a dealer network, since it's mostly online with suppliers, will be not regional based, but just based upon that, you know, particular dealer's ability to sell and make sales and how long they've been around for and stuff like that. So oftentimes you'll find that a lot of suppliers will actually set you up in an account for free. And the best thing about these authorized dealer accounts is that they come with pretty decent margins. So you're looking at, you know, instead of having to buy something retail price, you'd get it for like 30% off or something like that. And since your cost is that much lower, you'll be able to sell it at retail and make a decent profit. You know, the only thing that sucks sometimes about high-ticket dropshipping, because the products are pretty expensive, is that shipping costs can be expensive. And oftentimes, suppliers will charge you shipping costs. It'll eat into your profit margins a lot, and sometimes it can lower your profit margins from like 15-20% all the way down to like less than 10%. And that hurts for sure. It makes it harder to grow business. So what you have to do if that starts to become an issue is you have to add shipping costs to the product page. Okay, it's super essential. If you don't do that, then oftentimes you'll be losing money, or customers will buy and you won't make much money. And it's just not worth it in the long run. Okay, even if your competitors are selling it for cheaper or whatever, you can still charge shipping and then provide like a bonus or something like that. You know, think like information products or hand holding, you know, extended warranties, things like that don't cost too much, but are definitely something that you can provide. Provide bonuses to help still get those conversions, okay? So that's one of the ugly things about high-ticket dropshipping, is the shipping costs can really eat into your margins. But there are ways to avoid it, and definitely always ask suppliers before you get on board with them, hey, do you guys charge shipping on top of the dealer cost, or is it worked into the dealer cost? Oftentimes you'll find if a supplier has bigger margins that their shipping is charged on top of that cost, you know, and if they have lower margins, then it's probably because their shipping cost is baked into the cost of the products, okay? So the other thing you got to think about is that your suppliers are going to make or break your business with high-ticket dropshipping. It's key to understand that, because if you get on board with a supplier that products sell really well, but oftentimes the products have problems, or they don't ship right, or they make mistakes and ship to the wrong customer, it becomes kind of a nightmare to deal with. And even if their products sell really well, even if their margins are decent, if they make a lot of mistakes or if their product quality is really bad, it doesn't matter how many you sell, you're going to have a lot of problems with your customers. And that's the last thing you need, is chargebacks and problems with, you know, shipping costs, return costs, things like that. And just nightmares as far as like emotional, you know, craziness and time to deal with stuff. So it's really good to understand like how to look at suppliers and determine whether they're good or not. What I usually do just right off the bat, the first thing is, before I research whether I want to get a supplier on board or not, is I look for their reviews on third-party marketplaces. Because oftentimes it's harder to fake those reviews, like on Amazon and eBay and stuff like that. So if you look at their products being sold on other platforms and look at the reviews, the honest reviews from real customers, you'll often get an idea, like how good is the supplier over the, you know, the big picture, and how good is their quality of the product. How well are they delivering the product? How quick is the shipping? Things like that. You'll be able to determine that through the reviews. So there's that. But then, you know, even if reviews are pretty decent across the board, you're still going to have to do some, you know, make some tough calls later on when you're actually dealing with the orders and stuff like that. If you have problems, like, let's just say a supplier, you know, their products are really popular, but they're out of stock of some of the best sellers, like a lot. Well, that's a pain in the butt, right? Because if they're out of stock, that means you always got to be updating your website. And sometimes you're wasting ad spend on products that aren't in stock. And you got to, you know, that's one of the other things about high-ticket dropshipping is that, like, you got to keep track of your inventory. That's one of the other things that's really, really important is if a supplier is out of stock and you're spending money on ads and you get sales for that product, you know, it's not a big deal if it's like a week out or something like that, but if it's like 3 to 6 weeks out or even longer, oftentimes the customers will cancel. And that can be a big, big thing. You know, we've all had stores where like best-selling products sold really well and all of a sudden the supplier ran out of stock, and it's just it's a big hassle to deal with. It's always good to have multiple suppliers of similar products so that you can offer alternatives, but you know, even then, sometimes customers will just cancel because they think they can get it from someone else. They'll go through like 3 or 4 different stores before they finally just decide to stick with one and wait for it. You know, anyway, so beware of that. And you can set up stock update semi-automations through apps like StockSync and stuff. Like, there are ways to do that or just have VAs update it for you. But you've got to do it. It's super important. All right, so back to the suppliers. Suppliers that, you know, like, don't do a good job at reordering inventory and stuff like that could be a big hassle to deal with. So, you know, keep that in mind. Like, you got to keep a rating system when it comes to suppliers. And if suppliers give you enough problems over, you know, the long run, and if the margins don't add up and stuff like that, if they're, you know, the cons outweigh the pros of keeping the supplier on board, you just got to drop them and go with better suppliers, okay? Keep recruiting. Because as a retailer, we can have unlimited amounts of suppliers, right? You're just a retailer, okay? There's nothing holding that back unless you have, like, you know, agreements with big suppliers that you won't bring other suppliers on board or something like that. Like, that's something you might get into. But generally speaking, you should just always be recruiting suppliers. I think it's, you know, a great idea to have as many options as possible for customers. And since you can drive traffic, targeted traffic, directly to sales pages now, people that are looking for those products, it doesn't really matter that you have a bunch of different alternatives and options. They're not really going to be looking around too much. They already know what they want, probably, and so they're just going to stick with that product and buy it. All right, so that's that. The other thing is there's a lot of competition these days. You know, it's getting easier than ever to start an e-commerce store. So there's a lot more people doing this than there were before. Like 10 years ago, there just weren't as many people doing it, especially in some of the niches. They were completely empty. You know, there's a lot more suppliers in these niches too. So like the demand has risen from a consumer standpoint in a lot of industries. The supply has risen, and thus the need for more competitors has risen, and the availability and ease of entering the market for e-commerce has now become easier than ever before because there's a lot of training programs available, and there's a lot of e-commerce software available, and it's easier than ever before to manage this kind of stuff because, you know, there's just things available now that weren't there 10 years ago. So things are really growing. It's pretty amazing. Even through like a pandemic crisis, like what's happening in 2020, we're still seeing a lot of growth in certain industries, and especially things that are based in the home. So it's pretty incredible time. And, you know, whether you understand this stuff or not, or you think you're cut out for it or not, I mean, really, like, it's going to be working whether you're doing it or not. Okay. So, don't try to tell yourself this stuff doesn't work just because you can't make it work. You know, and the truth is you can make it work. You just have to put the time and effort into learning it. But but it's amazing, you know. You're going to be dealing with more competitors, but it's really easy to get into this kind of business now. So if you have what it takes, get into it. It's fairly easy to run one of these businesses, and it doesn't take rocket science. It's just basic, essential e-commerce software and some marketing and advertising experience. Just, you know, you just got to understand how all this stuff works. It takes a while to learn. There's like a deep learning curve, but once you get past that, it's pretty simple. And it's just kind of like going up towards the stratosphere. Like there's a few essential things you got to learn, like retail organization, you know, like how do you understand product categories and stuff? Like just walk through a Walmart or a Target and see how they organize their store. That's how you would organize an e-commerce store, you know, top to bottom, from menus, main categories, subcategories, submenus, and you know, different variants and features that, you know, tie certain product categories together. That's how you organize your websites and you make it easy to browse through. The better you make your website easier to browse through, the better it's going to be for the consumer, and you can target more generic traffic that way. You make it really hard for those types of consumers to browse your website. They're often going to click out, consume content from another website, and buy from that website. Which leads me to my next point. E-commerce these days, since it's so competitive, the people that are really standing out are the people that have a lot of good content on their website. especially personal content, personalized content, but content in general is just amazing. You know, there's a lot of Shopify stores thrown up these days with just copy and paste descriptions from the suppliers, and that's it, you know, and the quality isn't really there anymore. It really takes a deep understanding of content marketing to do really well in this business. So you have to understand that every product description needs to be rewritten, needs to be written in a copy sales copy format, feature, benefit, solution kind of a format. And you need to have like call to actions, and you need to have bonuses, you know, because you're selling high ticket products, you've got to have bonuses, just like a bottom line thing. People aren't going to buy from one retailer or the other, usually based upon like the price, right? But if there's MAP pricing, which is minimum advertised pricing, everybody should have the same price. But there's bonuses and there's like add-ons and stuff like that. So I call that product offer optimization. What we do is we go through our stores and we optimize the offer. And the offer is like, you know, your unique selling proposition. It's whether you do like free shipping, what your price match policy is, your turn policy, warranty policy, all those things tied in together. On top of that, it's the bonuses, it's the add-ons, it's the free gifts, it's the warranty, extended warranty, white glove delivery options, things like that. Like everything that goes together in your offer adds up. And you know, when your customer is going through their website and they're seeing like good branding, good content, good offer, personalized content, like you're winning points in the mind of your customer as they're browsing through the different options through Google Shopping, one store to the next. And the one that gets the most points is probably the one that's going to win the sale. Every shopper is different. Some shoppers are just looking for price. Other shoppers are looking for a personalized experience. Other shoppers are looking for the best deal, best offer, like bonuses and stuff like that. Some shoppers are just looking for a store that does a better job at, selling the product. And every shopper is different. So if you cover all those bases, you'll win the most shoppers out of all of those. Okay. So yeah, content is key. Product page descriptions, sales copy, collection page buying guides and sales copy, call to actions, blog posts explaining the different, reasons why people should purchase these products, or, top best products in this niche or that niche, in that category, this category, that kind of stuff. Those blog posts are going to be able to rank for SEO if you optimize them for keywords, and they get you a lot of free traffic, and you can post them on social media. The websites with the biggest social media followings are also going to get a lot of social proof and the most reviews. Reviews are huge. You know, if you don't have reviews on your website, you're not going to make sales. It's just bottom line. So you have to get tons of reviews on your website. You can curate them from your suppliers, and you can curate them from marketplaces to begin with, but you've got to get them from your customers in the long run, real verified reviews from actual customers. So you need review software, and you need to follow up with customers to get reviews. Homepage content's really important, obviously. Just, it's kind of like the storefront of your business. You've got to make it look good. And you've got to create a really good about page. I can't stress that enough. A lot of people go to the about page to just decide if they want to buy from your business or not. If you have a really good about page with a story, then people will kind of be, emotionally pulled to buy from your website as opposed to another website. And just by posting content continually on social media and creating a community, you're going to be able to get more referrals and get more orders and things like that. And by posting, continuously, you'll be following up with people. Okay. And doing email marketing is really important. All this stuff really ties in and it works together. The ugly part of all this stuff is, it does take a lot of time and effort to do it. The beautiful thing is that it's, at least you can semi-automate a lot of it and outsource it to virtual assistants. You can create trainings on how to do it and outsource it. A lot of the marketing stuff can be, there's tools for automation. At least you can like take one day a month and make all your social media posts in that one day. You can take one day a month and make all your email broadcasts for that whole month in one day. Then film yourself doing it, hire a virtual assistant to do it for you, that kind of stuff, and check their work. You can free up a lot of your time from having to do that consistently to continually working on growing your business instead, or working on side projects. Okay, so, that's just it, guys. This kind of business model isn't really fully automatable. No business really is. What you have to do is create systems and processes and training programs so that you can hire people to do them for you, okay? It's just these businesses are run by people, software can only do so much, and people have to run the software. Okay, AI isn't really a thing yet. There's not beings that are smarter than humans, unfortunately, yet. But maybe someday you can hire, you can buy an AI robot or just have software to make decisions for you. Until then, we have to have humans make the decisions to tell the software what to do. Software's kind of dumb in a sense that you tell it yes or no and do the if this, then that, you know. So keep that in mind, guys. The ugly part of this business is it's pretty manual labor, in a sense. But the beautiful thing about it is that you can do it from home. You can work anywhere, really. And yeah, it's better than having to work from a cubicle for some boss you hate. You get to keep all your profit, obviously. There's obviously issues because it's retail. You're dealing with suppliers, other people's products. Products can be out of stock sometimes. Product quality can be bad. You know, shipping costs can be high. There can be shipping delays. Customers might get freaked out because of an issue that isn't really your fault. And you have to still cover for it as if it is, because if you don't, then you're making yourself look kind of unprofessional. Okay, so, you know, you've got to just be able to understand the difficulties that are in front of you and know that you can overcome them and you can do really well. You just have to focus on that. Okay, this business model does work. Tons of people are making lots of money doing it. The ones that are making lots of money understand the systems and processes requirements and are outsourcing and hiring teams and, you know, building upon their business. They're building their stores out wider and deeper and getting more suppliers all the time and working on creating more content all the time in different places. And yeah, those are the stores that are really winning. It's the ones that are reinvesting, okay? If you look at the example like Amazon, you know, wasn't pulling a profit for a long time because they were constantly reinvesting their profits and they were claiming losses. So getting investment, reinvesting, buying more fulfillment centers, buying up more businesses to get their processes and systems in place. And they're still doing that today. They're still reinvesting a lot. But now today they're finally, you know, pulling profits and stuff like that. So, but it's pretty amazing to look at a company like that as a case study of, you know, an e-commerce business that started and grew and is now at the point that they're at, the biggest company in the world. That's pretty amazing. And things that they had to do to get there. So just depends like how big you want to grow your business. Do you want to grow it absolutely gigantic or do you just want to have enough money to get by? You know, it's either one's okay. Just make sure that you keep that in mind as you're building your business. And you know that these things don't happen overnight. Okay, it takes a while. And every single day, it takes a long time to build something up. You know, and if you just keep at it and keep working every single day, you know, take breaks when you need to, but keep at it and you'll get somewhere, okay? And eventually you'll be at this place where you're just gonna be like, wow, it's amazing how I actually got here. And you have to look back and say, well, every single day I woke up and I took action. That's what it takes. So I hope that makes sense to you guys. If you're interested in getting help from me, I have a full course called the High Ticket Dropshipping Masterclass. You can sign up at ecommerceparadise.com. I also have Shopify turnkey stores. So if you want to get a done-for-you store built for you, I can get you a good starter store, or I can actually build the entire business for you. Just go to ecommerceparadise.com/turnkey for more information on that. I offer private coaching for you know, an affordable rate. Go to ecommerceparadise.com/coaching for more information on that. And all my recommended resources for e-commerce entrepreneurs is at ecommerceparadise.com/resources. Go check that out. I have some free training on my website, a free mini course, Dropshipping for Beginners, as well as a free webinar, High Ticket Dropshipping Secrets. And yeah, you can always email me anytime, trevor@ecommerceparadise.com. Join our free Facebook group at ecommerceparadise.com/group. Subscribe to the podcast and the YouTube channel. And definitely leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps me get the podcast out there for bigger reach and more people. So I appreciate that. ecommerceparadise.com/podcast takes you right to the iTunes store to do that. Thanks for listening, guys, and talk to you in the next episode. Take care.